Hey, good morning. This is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver, and thank you for joining me on this edition of the Making of the Mogul radio show, where the dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. So this segment, I am going to open up with an inspirational thought. This is something to ponder or pontificate upon today as we're entering into a new season and a new year, which is 2024. So I want to play something into your hearing that will make you think about how you see yourself in relation to others. In addition to help you to make a better comparative analysis or decision on who you decide to follow and the people that you make a conscious decision as what you see as leadership, okay? And then we'll go into, but today's primary focus is I want to talk about, I'm going to list the 50 top holiday dishes, okay? The 50 top holiday dishes. So a lot of people wanted to know. So when I talk about leadership, a lot of people were, so they dispute my method for compiling the data on 50 Cent. And the reason why some of them dispute the way that I've collected the data on 50 Cent is because they feel like that I should have offered more information about his personal life, because in their mind's eye, they believe that your personal life can have such an impact on your professional life that the two cannot be separated. I disagree, and I'm not going to offer any position on why I disagree with that. However, you see people all the time that live double lives, right? They're one person professionally and another person personally. And that's because they can be very two separate entities, right? And so I'll leave it at that. Here's the reason why I chose to do that. I'm not a critic. I'm an enthusiast and I'm a researcher, right? I am a trained researcher, meaning that I've taken classes and received certifications on how to do proper research without impacting a person's life negatively or causing negative circumstances to come upon a person, right? And so throughout all of these years of doing research around leadership, it was always in the forefront of my mind not to do damage to my subjects, right? And that's the difference between ethical and integral research and people who don't really have any connection or don't have any skin in the game with the demographic of people that they decide that they want to do research on, right? Or some people enter into it with one mindset and then money is presented, right? Because people get paid a lot of money to do research. Let me say that. And so the money can also be a buffer as to why people present the type of data that they present. If you're hired by a specific organization to do research, they want the research to lean towards what they support and what they believe in, right? So you have people that do research that compromise the integrity of the research in order to satisfy the people that have hired them. That's why it's important to support organizations such as myself, because my data is already pre-compiled, right? So when organizations contact me, I already have the data to support whatever it is. Now, there's been times where I have conducted surveys and research on behalf of organizations, but not to the point where it was detrimental to the people typically. So it was just information that organizations wanted to know about their constituents and the demographic of people that they serve, right? And so there's that type of research and data. But the good news is when you decide to sow a love offering into organizations like ELA, it provides me the ability to make time to continue to do the research and collect the data so that the data that I have does not become stale, right? And time is money. And so the only way that someone such as myself who does research independently can really be able to set aside the time to do the research and to maintain the integrity and the moral compass of the research is when I have the ability to pull from philanthropists that don't necessarily have any skin in the game or are not looking for specific outcomes from the research, right? They simply just want to give because they believe in what I do and what I present and what I represent in the earth, right? So in saying all of that, my point is saying this. We have become a society. So I am a behavioral scientist. We have become a society where we have, so a critic, right? Like if you look in the entertainment section of a newspaper or a magazine, there is somebody that provides their opinion on a movie, right? You watch a movie and then you provide feedback on the movie after you watch it, immediately after watching it, right? That is a critic. It doesn't take, so you go in with whatever your natural knowledge is, right? You watch the movie, you leave the movie, you provide feedback on it. That is a critique. A critic provides a critique. An intellectual or a researcher, it takes years to build expertise, right? And so I spent 10 years just compiling the data. Uneducated, right? Didn't have a form of education yet. I just had an interest in the topic of leadership, right? And so I spent 10 years collecting the data before I even knew how to compile the data, right? Like this is literally like was a natural process just for somebody who had an interest in learning about people and processes and communities and group dynamics and things of that nature. So 10 years, I just spent just collecting the data and learning more about people, people that I cared about, people that meant something to me, topics that were near and dear to my interest and my compassion, right? And then the next 10 years I spent on compiling that data, what it looked like to put that data together so that I could present it and articulate it in a way that made it tangible to other people so that they could understand what the subject matter was and what I had spent, right, 20 years of my life putting together. That is an expert, right? That is somebody who is amongst the intellectual community. And I think what has happened and what has slipped our consciousness, particularly in America, right, is that we have allowed people's platforms who are really critics to become or to present themselves as intellect, right? It takes intellect to be able to observe without response. It takes intellect to sit back and collect data without placing your own personal response and your own personal perspective on a subject or on a person or an individual. And the problem is that critics, the purpose of a critic is to control a narrative, right? The purpose of an intellect or an expertise is to shift paradigms, right? To solve a problem, to cure an ailment, to fix a component in society that has been a catalyst in the decomposition of a certain part of society, right? A critic, their purpose is to control, period. To control a person, to control a perspective, to control. That is the only purpose of a critic, is to control. The purpose of an intellectual, right? Or an expert, is to fix, repair, and particularly an expert who has a biblical understanding, right? And to heal. And that's why I always say the purpose of the foundation is because we are a source of information. The purpose of us in the earth is to disseminate information. Do you think that I was able to comprise the ideology of why Jewish people have been able to advance their society in such a way that African Americans and Black people have not? Do you think that's something that I was able to pontificate upon overnight? Absolutely not. That is from 20 years of research, 10 years of compiling the data, and 10 years of learning how to put the data together so that I could articulate it and massage the information until there was a theory, right? A hypothesis and a theory that made sense. That's what science is about, right? I didn't come up with that overnight. That's 20 years of intellectual property. And then we have these people that step to a platform, observe somebody's life, and provide their critique in a moment's eye. And we've given them a space and room to be considered intellectuals. And they're not intellectuals. They're simply just critics. And it's important as we enter into 2024 to begin to put these people in their proper lane, so that society can continue to advance in healthy ways, and we can usher ourselves out of these spaces and pockets of darkness. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about 50 Christmas dishes. All right. And these are supposed to be the best classic Christmas dishes. Prime rib. And it goes on to provide like different descriptions of them. But this particular segment, let me see, I'm already 13 minutes in. Typically, I do my segments in like 45 minutes when I have the ability to shorten it in such a way. So I'm only going to read them. I'm not going to go back and do them in a description. I might, oh my goodness, is it timing out? Bear with me one moment. I might be able to come back and elaborate on them for New Year's Eve. Oh my goodness. It's not allowing me to scroll through them. Oh, there we are. All right. Where is number one? All right, prime rib is number one. Beef tenderloin. Easy roasted turkey. Honey baked ham. Maple orange glaze. Excuse me. Maple orange glaze turkey. Pork tenderloin, apple cider sage pork chops, slow cook pot roast chicken. Easy roast chicken, filet mignon, beef brisket, braised short ribs, turkey meatballs, shrimp scampi, lemon garlic chicken, deviled eggs, stuffed mushrooms, pomegranate guacamole, shrimp cocktail, smoked salmon. What is that? Smoked salmon cheese ball. Healthy spinach dip. Guacamole stuffed tomatoes. Fennel pork meatballs. Best mashed potatoes. Balsamic bacon Brussels sprouts, honey glazed carrots, Parmesan herb roasted acorn squash, baked sweet potato, smashed potatoes, Zaatar roasted cauliflower, roasted squash, spaghetti squash, Brussels sprouts, crispy shallots, garlic herb roasted potatoes, green beans with shallots and lemon, Waldorf salads, crab salad, broccoli salad, tomato avocado salad, massage kale salad, shaved Brussels sprout salad, roasted beet and kale salad, pea soup, squash soup, cabbage soup, vegetable soup. So what you basically have to do, right? So this is really the steps to a 3-course meal. And so you have to pick and choose the various options to put them together to make one meal, right? So I've offered you the meats. I've offered you the salads and the soups. So this is for a 3-course meal. Lentil soup, sweet potato soup, roasted cauliflower soup. And then the dessert. Excuse me, roasted cookies. I'm sorry, not roasted cookies. No baked cookies. Gluten-free chocolate chip cookies. And then oatmeal cookies. Mint double chocolate chip cookies. Vegan chocolate chip cookies. And then there's like hundreds of more of desserts that I'm not going to go through those. Souffle, pomegranate pudding parfait, like all type of stuff. And let's move on to the spritzers. What type of alcoholic beverages? So you have homemade eggnog, pomegranate margarita, white Christmas sangria, classic red sangria, classic margarita, and then they also offer some warm beverages like hot chocolate, chai latte. Let's go back to the meats. Which is the focus of any meal, right? If you eat, it's the focus of any meal. So they talked about prime rib, beef tenderloin, easy roast turkey, honey baked ham, and then maple orange glazed turkey. pork tenderloin, apple cider sage pork chops, slow cooker pot roast, easy roast chicken, filet mignon, beef brisket, braised short ribs, turkey meatballs, shrimp scampi, and lemon garlic chicken. So those were that's the focus of the meals, and then it went on to offer like the appetizers. I'm not going to repeat the appetizers, but there you have it. Right? So the 50 parts of how to put together really a three-course meal. And so you can use those ideas for Christmas, and then you can use those ideas for inspiration for your New Year's Eve meal as well. All right. And this is your behavioral scientist, Tanola Oliver. Thank you for joining me on this segment of the Making of the Mogul radio show, where the dream is free as the hustle is sold separately. And as I close out this particular segment, I just want to remind you that there is a difference between a very vast difference between the intellectual community and the critic community. And again, the purpose of a critic is to control the narrative, to control opinion. It's all about control. And that's why there's always that swift observation, right, of everything that a person says and does, because the purpose of the critique is to control the narrative and to control how people think and feel about a certain person or situation or demographic of people or a business or various, right? So that's the purpose of a critique. The purpose of the intellectual community is, so I would like to think, right? And so we do have people that are functioning in the intellectual community who they have your purpose, right? Some of them do. And those are the people who really are the propagandists, who somehow lobbyists have swindled their way into the intellectual property. However, for the most part, though, within the intellectual community, the purpose of studying a subject for several years is because people want to fix, want to heal, and want to bring resolve to ailments in society. And it takes years to pile that data, right? And you absolutely, unequivocally, right? And when people talk about, why didn't I talk about Curtis 50 Cent's personal life? It's because when I talk about behavior, I'm talking about behavior within the professional world. Right, I'm talking about behaviors that lead to leadership. I'm talking about behaviors that are associated with various leadership styles versus toxic leadership and healthy leadership, and helping organizations and society and individuals learn how to lead into positive leadership, and helping and preparing executives on how to spot their next set of leadership for the next generation, right? And who are the people that should be climbing the ranks within organizations, preparing executives, small business owners, and everyday individuals as to understanding and learning whose voices have a positive impact on us, on society, and what's toxic, so that we can be, and who knew? Right? I started this journey 20 years ago. Who knew that we would be here at this time in society with so much darkness and evilness operating? God knew, right? God knew. And so he was preparing a people. And I just so happened to be amongst those people to help shift society back into the light and away from the darkness. And that is based on how we how we choose the next generation of leaders and whose voices we listen to. And so if you live in a community where there is a lot of darkness operating, that is because that is what it feels like it's time to make a paradigm shift and to do something unconventional, to place leadership in spaces that causes people to leap over the politics, right? Because there's people who are in line to be next, right? But they're in line to be next to continue the darkness. And there is somebody that the light is trying to raise up that needs to shift the paradigm and shift how leadership is handled in a region or in an organization. And what we're about to see, right? I just told you, I read through a list and I could have very well ran to this platform and read you all the names of the organizations and companies that are on that list. But while I'm a dissemination of information, I want to be a disseminator of information that helps to shift paradigms so that we can lean into the goodness, right? And the Bible says, I would have fainted unless I seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So I want the information that I present to you to pull you towards the light and not towards the darkness, right? We have enough toxic information out there. And so I could have very well run to this platform and told you those list of people. I did mention one organization that was on that list, and that was Neiman Marcus. And the reason I wanted to mention Neiman Marcus was because I want there to be an understanding that like Neiman Marcus is one of those organizations that, so their competitor is probably Saks Fifth Avenue. Why is Neiman Marcus on the list and Saks Fifth Avenue not? Right. And I also made a comparison and I said most of the. And so I've had an eye and a knack for retail. I started working in retail when I was still in high school. I worked for Elder Behrman's. I also had an opportunity to work for Myers. I've worked for a few retailers. I've worked for Macy's. And so I've had a knack and an eye for customer service in retail for many, many years. And there, most of the organizations that were on that list, that bankruptcy list, I had never even heard of them. I knew Neiman Marcus, right? I recognized their brand name, right? And so I don't shop in Neiman Marcus. I don't have any perspective to bring to why Neiman Marcus was on the list. My only ability to provide some sort of commentary for it was they happened to be on a list of organizations that I had never heard of that were in the process of filing bankruptcy. And if I had to provide some sort of commentary towards that, I would probably say that those on that list probably don't have any minorities in their leadership. And I've been saying it probably now for 5 years, that companies, organizations, that's schools, right? That's businesses, that's retail, whatever line of business people are in as it relates to corporations, if they don't find a way to shift their diversity plans, they too will be on that bankruptcy list. Because the number one, right? So women are the number one consumers, period, right? And then when we drill down further into that list, not just women, but the African-American community. So when we say that the African-American community is spending $1.3 trillion on consumer goods, we're really talking about Black women, right? Black women are the number one spenders, right? in this economic or this eco class, right? We spend more money than anybody, right? If you want to drill into it the most, at a micro level, right? But nonetheless, at the end of the day, companies that do not have a diversified platform where they have made it a point to put all capacity of diversification at their leadership level, I'm telling you, they're all going to be on the bankruptcy list, because the people that spend the most money happen to be the African-American community. And they're going to have to find a way to shift their diversity panels and how they see diversity. And it's important to me because this economy is important to me. And at the macro level, right, I'm saying that Black people, African Americans, spend $1.3 trillion. And the only way, and this is what I know, as someone who has functioned at the executive level for many, many years, is they don't care what you look like. They don't care what race you are. They just want to know who you are, and they want you to return and continue to spend your money because it helps them to take care of their families, right? And to maintain a specific lifestyle for themselves, right? It is the data that they are invested in, right? And if you are in a Neiman Marcus, and if the brand that you support within Neiman Marcus is Gucci, and I said that for an example, right? Because I know Gucci has a very in-depth and high-level diversity program for at every level, from their artists to their designers to their retailers. Gucci has made a very apparent effort in order to say, look, we've made some mistakes in the past, and we're going to correct how we see diversity and who we allow to participate in our platform, because we realize the demographic of people that utilize our products is a large portion of the hip hop community that buys products and services through Gucci. So when I say Gucci, I'm saying that for a reason, right? And so if you are in a Neiman Marcus, and every time you go to the Gucci section, particularly my people out there who travel, right, whether it's city to city or state to state, and you receive the same treatment in Neiman Marcus, every time you go to the Gucci section, Gucci needs to know that, right? Because Gucci needs to pull their products out of that particular store. And they don't know that unless you contact Gucci to tell them, listen, I belong to a demographic of people who believe in the products and the services that Gucci offer, and my demographic of people are not being treated respectfully in Neiman Marcus. And if, right, brand recognition disassociates themselves with that particular department store, it holds the brand accountable, and it holds the department accountable for not recognizing that they have a cultural issue in how they handle their constituents. When African American women walk into a store, people ought to be running up to African American women at 90 and 100 miles per hour, trying to see how they can help them, not because they think they're stealing, right? And that's a totally different topic. But women in general happen to be the number one consumers. And African American people make up $1.3 trillion of the consuming economy, right? Meaning that not the producers, right? But the consumers, the people who are purchasing, right? And don't allow anybody to tell you anything different, okay? And this is not something that I've come up with overnight, right? This is something that has taken me 20 years to be able to figure out how to fix specific ailments in society, how we see ourselves in relation to others, how we interact with one another, what increases our status in society, all of that, right? And so it is important that in 2024, we start putting people back in their proper lane, right? Critics are not experts. The only purpose of a critic is to control the narrative. And that is why you see so, you hear, that's why it's called a critic, because there is so much criticism in it. People criticize what they fear. People try to control the narrative when they have a fear of something, right? There is a line of demarcation as wide as the ocean between critics and the intellectual community. All right. My name is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver. And I hope you utilize one of those 50 dishes that that I helped to put that information out there. And so that will help you to create a 3-course meal. And so you have your dessert, you have your meat, which is your that's your main focus of your meal. I offered you appetizers. And then I offered you salads to accompany the main course of the meal. So there you have it. And if you really, really stretch it, you could make that probably a 4-course meal. But easy, a 3-course meal, okay? Alrighty. And so again, I just want to reiterate that the reason I chose not to look into the personal life of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, because particularly for the subject matter, right, it wasn't relevant for the data that I needed to present. And so my expertise is in leadership and improving constructs and helping people to see themselves better in relation to how they see themselves in relation to others. So the lens and the perspective and how they process information. And it was, and 10 to 20 years of putting this information together and working through the hiccups of how to compound the data, right? What to do with it, how to make sense of it, how to articulate it. All of that was part of the research process for me. It was not easy, and it's frustrating and somewhat disappointing for me when I see society take critics and allow them to build these huge platforms that doesn't really have any intellectual prowess or no intellect pushing it. It takes zero intellect to be a critic. And criticism is really fear. That's all criticism is fear. People criticize what they fear and what they don't understand. And leading into 2024, we need to put those people in their proper perspective and back into their proper lane, because they are not amongst the intellectual community. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory manner, but the Bible says, study and show thyself approved. and you don't become an expert overnight, and you don't become an expert at studying one person, right? Like, what kind of expert are you just from studying one person and then providing commentary on one person's life? That is about as demoralizing of anything that I've ever seen in society before, right? So Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is my subject because I needed someone who was bigger than all of the data that I had studied, to have a subject to compile that data into, to present a story and a narrative that helps shift the paradigms of society and how they see the personification of a Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, how they see the hood, how they seen the people that I grew up with that were brothers, right? How they seen people that I loved and care about, right? How, what that looks like. And my way of taking that 20 years of research and allowing a subject to carry that so that it would be tangible and entertaining to the platform. And Curtis 50 Cent Jackson was a perfect individual to do that for. My research is not all Curtis Jackson based. The reason I was able to dissect the professional life of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is because of all of the data that I was able to compile before I made it to him as a subject, right? And that's why I don't bring a lot of negativity, right, to the subject. It's about what has he done right? And that is in comparison to the same behaviors that I've seen other subjects do right. And it's allowed me to use him as a subject matter to present the data before the world. He is not the primary subject matter. He is the subject that allowed me to be able to present the data in such a way that the world was ready and able to have a palatable ability to receive the information. Because some of the other people there, they're normal people, right? They're laymen, people who nobody would recognize or know, or maybe not even care about, right? And people would feel like, oh, they was one off, right? They were the anomaly. And what I'm saying is there is an entire database of anomalies that fit this outliers, right, subject matter. And I'm saying it is the behaviors and the people that help to make these type of individuals to become better parts of society that open up doors for people that look like and feel like them when they could have ended up in other parts of society, right? And so that's all I have to say today. And I pray that you have a blessed holiday. Until we see each other again, live in the overflow. Excuse me, live in the overflow. Shalom.